Much. I've enjoyed the special music today. Up here trying to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and I got a stink bug trying to crawl up my leg. Tell you, those things are of the devil. That's right. Very familiar passage of scripture this morning. Before I get into the message, I want to bring a couple of things to your attention from this passage of Scripture. We started last week in our Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services, just bringing messages around the Christmas season. Pastor David had been bringing some good messages on the spirit of Christmas on Sunday nights. And on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, I've tried to bring some messages that I thought would be along the reason of the season. We certainly heard some great preaching the first of the month from Brother Dwayne Moore on the reason of the season, and of course that's Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I've told you from this verse in the past, as you look down at John 3:16, that we have really the Christmas story in a nutshell. God so loved the world. That's the God of Christmas. That's right. Man is not the author of Christmas. Man did not devise or come up with the plan for Christmas. God is the author of Christmas. There would be no Christmas without God sending His Son. And so as we look down at John 3:16, we see, for God so loved the world, that's the God of Christmas. And then we see the gift of Christmas, that He gave His only begotten Son. What a gift. Doesn't get any better than that. I don't know what you're going to be gifted with this Christmas, but I can tell you what, you'll never get a greater gift than that. Amen. That's the greatest gift I've ever received, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we see the glory of Christmas, that whosoever believeth in Him, aren't you glad God made it that way? That whosoever believeth in Him, I say glory, glory. I'm glad that it's not with price. It's not based on a social status or a financial record. It's not based on our merit, but it's God's amazing grace. The glory of Christmas, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. Now that's glory, but have everlasting life. I pray that you have experienced that Christmas message in your own heart. I pray you know the God of Christmas. And I pray that you have received the gift of Christmas and that you are enjoying the glory of Christmas, for eternal life begins the moment you get saved. Eternal life doesn't begin when this life ends. No, abundant life comes with eternal life, and abundant life will see us through, and then eternal life will take over. We have it in our bosoms now, but it will be a reality when we drop this old robe of flesh. Aren't you glad for that? I want to bring to you a Christmas message out of John 3:16 about three births that I see when Jesus met this man Nicodemus. Now we know about the first birth and we've heard of the second birth, but there's a third birth in this passage of Scripture that's, well, very important because of the other two. And so I'd just like to walk right down through these scriptures expositionally and talk with you about these three births. I want you to notice this man Nicodemus. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, here's a man by the name of Nicodemus. His name itself says a little bit about the man. His name means superior. That's what the name Nicodemus means, superior. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a wealthy man. He was a man of means. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself in verse number 10 of this chapter said, art thou not a master of Israel? So he was a man of means. He was a man of education. He was a man that possessed a lot. He was a notable man in the community. And the Bible says that he had been watching Jesus. Now you say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, yeah, it does. Because he made a statement. Now, many people were drawn to Jesus in his birth. We've talked about that, how that the angels came and the shepherds came and the wise men came and others came. And different times, of course, but they came. The birth of Jesus drew many. The life of Jesus drew many. The death of Jesus drew many. The resurrection of Christ drew many. And by the way, all of those things are still drawing many. Amen. I'm glad that God draws people to himself through Jesus Christ, aren't you? Now, here's a man that there was something in particular that drew him. And I want you to notice what the Bible says it was. It says in verse number 2, he said that no man can do these miracles. The miracles got his attention. The miracles. You know, miracles get a lot of people's attention. I think some of it's fair. I think it's okay that signs and miracles get people's attention. I do know that the Bible says that, you know, the Jews seek a sign, and of course there's things that people are seeking when they think about Jesus. But I want you to notice what this man, when he came to Jesus, Jesus had a message for this man. And he started with the right birth. You know, sometimes when we talk to people about Jesus and when we talk to people about the need of salvation, we begin with, well, the new birth, the second birth, or being born again. But that's not what Jesus began with. Jesus began with the natural birth. And I want you to notice the natural birth. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I thought you said miracles is what drew Nicodemus to Jesus. Can I tell you that the natural birth of a human being is an absolute miracle from God? You say, well, I can't explain it. Well, can you comprehend it? Science may can explain it, but I'm going to tell you something. Life is a miracle from God. And so here was a man that he came to Jesus and he said, you know what? I'm seeing all these miracles. And in essence, what Jesus told him, he said, you're a miracle. I want you to notice it says here in verse number 2, he said that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, we're going to revisit that in just a moment. Verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. It's important. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, Nicodemus, he said, you've been born, he said, but you need something outside of your natural birth. He said, your natural birth is what got you into this world, but if you're going to get out of this world in a good way, in good shape, you're going to have something more than your natural birth. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that if you plan on getting out of this old world in good shape, and I mean with God, in a right standing with God, it's going to take more than your natural birth. And that's what Jesus is telling this man. He said, there's a natural birth, it's a miracle, but it takes more than that birth. He actually, when he told Nicodemus this, Nicodemus, as I said, an educated man. We're talking about a man who was a master in Israel. And Nicodemus saith unto him in verse number 4, how can a man be born when he is old? What kind of miracles does this man do? You mean that a man can be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. He said, I want to tell you something about your physical birth. And so he said in verse number 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, let me tell you something about your natural birth. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now I want you to listen to me. This old flesh will never make it to heaven. This flesh God gave up on in the Garden of Eden. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's going to take more. You have got to get outside of yourself. You cannot do it. What, in essence, Jesus is telling Nicodemus here, when Nicodemus said, how can I do this? Look at verse 4. How can I do this? How can a man do this? What can man do? What can man do to get him to heaven? Jesus said, nothing. You can do nothing to get you to heaven. Nothing. Doesn't matter how much you have, doesn't matter how much you know, doesn't matter that you're a master, it doesn't matter that you have answers or you have means, you can do nothing to get yourself to heaven. Then Nicodemus, in essence, is saying, well, you know, if I could do nothing to get to heaven, what's my hope? And Jesus said, I want you to understand something. Your flesh is deficient. There's nothing you can do in the flesh. And I want to talk to you just for a moment, and I hope I don't get bogged down here, because I tell you, this is a lot. You don't just start telling people, well, you know what, you need to believe in Jesus and you can go to heaven. Man's got to realize he's a sinner. You'll never get saved until you realize you're a sinner. That's right. See, the problem is we don't want folks to admit they're a sinner. And that's why people get upset when you start telling them about their sin. People don't want you to tell them about their sin. That's right. Well, I'm transgender. Yeah, I know, it's sin. Well, don't you tell that about me. You need to know you're a sinner. Well, I'm bisexual. Yeah, I know, it's sin. Well, don't you condemn me. You need to know that you're in sin. If you're living in adultery, you're in sin. The flesh is flesh. Flesh is eat up in sin, brethren. Hear me now. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and you cannot dress the flesh up in the presence of God. There must be a new birth. There must be something beyond the natural birth, and that is the supernatural birth. I want you to think with me for a moment when Jesus said, that which is the flesh is flesh. We have too much confidence in the flesh. Paul said we're to have zero confidence in the flesh. Zero. So, well, I'm a good church person. If that's all you are, listen, you don't go to heaven for being a good church person. Good church people don't go to heaven. Saved people do. So, well, I can be good and get to heaven. There's no one ever been good and got to heaven. You show me one person in all the Bible that was good and got to heaven, I'll change my mind. But you can't do it. I want you to turn to some scripture with me. I'm going to ask you to do this. I've written them down. I've quoted some. I've memorized some. But I want you to see what the Bible says about this old flesh, brethren. See, Nicodemus was bound to this sinful world because he was born into this sinful world. That's what Jesus was telling him in verse number 6 of John chapter 3. You have been born into a sinful world. Therefore, you are bound to this sinful world, and you are blind to the spiritual world. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the spiritual realm until God opens your blinded eyes. It's the only way. It's the only way. You see, you come into this world blind spiritually. Please hear me. Blind spiritually. That's why when people began to talk about the Bible and God and sin and Christ, it doesn't make sense to you until God manifests himself to you. Until God removes the scales from our eyes. Until God shows us into the spiritual realm that Christ has died for our sin. And he was buried and rose again the third day. See, that's what the message that God was giving Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, in verse number 7, he said, don't you marvel. Don't you be surprised. You must be born again if you ever, ever want your sin forgiven, if you ever want to get to heaven. There's got to be more than that first birth. That natural birth will not get you that. I want you to turn, if you would, just for a moment to Ephesians chapter number 2. As I said, I want you to turn now in your Bible. I want you to turn there. Now, you turn quick and I'll preach quick, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said in verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter number 2, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And here's what I want you to see. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our, what's that next word? Flesh. See, that which is of the flesh is flesh. It's flesh. It's sinful. And he said, all of us, all of us had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the what? Flesh and of the mind. And here it is. And were by nature. The natural birth produces this nature. What nature is it, preacher? Tell us, Paul. He said, the children of wrath. We have a sinful nature, a depraved nature. We're broken. We cannot get to heaven in that state. And so he said, Nicodemus, you need to understand that. You're broken. You need fixing. Amen. Do you need something that you have to go outside of yourself and get? You cannot produce this. Nicodemus was thinking, I can do this. Is there some way I could go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Is there some physical way that this can happen? He said, no, Nicodemus, you can't see what I'm telling you. The God of this world has blinded your mind and your heart. You need to realize that there's nothing in man that can make this and achieve this or make it happen. I want you to turn again, if you would, over to chapter number 4 of Ephesians. This is one of the best definitions in all the Bible of you and I before we got saved. And if you're here tonight, this sums up your life. Ephesians 4 is a very sad commentary on what it means to be lost. Verse 17 says, this I say then. I'm in Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. I find it very interesting that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. But can I tell you, the night in which Nicodemus came to Jesus was far greater than the environment around him. It was the soul within him. Nicodemus was in darkness. And he knew it. But he just didn't know how to get out of it. And that's what drew him to Jesus. He just knew that Jesus had the answer. And the scripture says here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because, watch this now, of the blindness of their heart. Can I tell you that there's something far more pitiful than one with blind eyes? And that is one with a blind heart. I'd soon leave this world, and God knows my heart, I mean it, with every fiber of my being, blinded in my eyes, then blinded in my heart. You can leave this world maimed, but saved, and all will be restored. But you can also leave this world full of your mental and physical faculties, but your heart be blind. And Jesus said you to be cast into hell forever if you've never been born again. And so here, speaking of the flesh, let me give you one more passage of Scripture. And it's a little lengthy, but I want you to turn there in Galatians, would you, in Galatians chapter 5. This may be the greatest statement in all the Bible about where we are without Christ. I want you to see what the Bible says about your flesh, my flesh. It'll help us to realize what we're capable of without the help of God. The birth in John chapter 3 that we're talking about is the natural birth. Brethren, we've all experienced the natural birth. And we've all experienced the curse of the natural birth because we are descendants of Adam. And in Adam, all sin. You say, well, I didn't have a choice in that. Well, thank God you have a choice about another birth I'm going to talk to you about. Now, you didn't have a choice, nor did I, when we were born into the family of Adam. But thank God we can have a choice if we want to get born into the family of Christ. Here in Galatians chapter 5, notice what the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, said. Please notice it there in verse number 19. Now, the works of what? The flesh. Again, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And I know that man can pin many roses and accolades on the flesh, but I just want to tell you what the Bible says about it. That's what the Bible says. Now, The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. I know what time we live in. I know the days that we live in. Adultery is still sin, brethren. The Bible says fornication. I'd really encourage you to go home and look that word up. I really would. It comes from the word pornea. Check it out. Get your Strong's Concordance out. Look at it. It's where we get our word pornography. It's running rampant today. Notice the next statement. Uncleanness, which means moral impurity. Folks find absolutely, no cause to be chaste and clean anymore. There's just immorality is on every hand. These are the works of the flesh. Notice the next thing it says. Lasciviousness. This is unbridled lust. It's following the desires of your fallen sinful nature without boundaries. Verse 20, idolatry, the worship of things or even people. Oh, now, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, now, be careful what you say you'd never do. Witchcraft. Again, there's a lot of this going on in our society today. Witchcraft. Hatred. People full of hate. Spewing out hatred. As a matter of fact, today people have definitions so confused that when a man will stand up and preach the word of God against sin, it's coined hate speech. You need to get your definitions right. Just make sure you speak the truth in love. Amen. Don't let the woke culture define your words for you. Somebody say amen with me. Don't let the woke culture, don't let the cancel culture, don't let this new age movement define your vocabulary. Variance. This word means quarrelsome, contentious, always trying to pick a fight. Emulations. Heated jealousy and envy is what that word means. These are the works of the flesh. Say, when that preacher, I'm glad I don't get involved in any of these. Wait a minute, we're getting to you. That's right. We're all in here. Oh, well, not me, preacher, I'm saved. You're right in here in verse 19 and 20. Wrath. I think we've all experienced that and probably even dealt some of it out. Strife. That's people who always want to cause fractions and factions among people, stir up trouble, separate people by being a whisperer and a talebearer, gossip. Seditions. That word means to dissent or to divide. Heresies, spread or act out hearsay. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. That's carousing. It's rioting. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I think I made it through that list. Well, Paul said, the Holy Ghost said, wait a minute. Look at the next couple of words there. And such like. Gotcha. God said, if you're in the flesh, you're going to find yourself doing things that are displeasing to God and against God's holiness and God's character. He said, these are the works of the flesh. You say, now, preacher, I lead a good life and I don't do wrong. I don't sin. You're blind. And that's why you don't see your need to get saved. You're okay with your natural birth. Please listen to me. Until God showed me I was a sinner, I was pretty good with my natural birth too. I wore my flesh pretty good, even though I knew I was wicked. But I just thought, well, you know what? I'm just as good as the next man. If you're sitting in this congregation today or watching by live stream and you really believe now that you're okay in the condition you're in without Christ, and that your sin does not come before a holy God, you have been deceived and you have been blinded by the god of this world, who is Satan himself. It takes more than the natural birth to make peace with God. Now I want you to turn back with me just for a moment into John chapter 3. We have the natural birth. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, you know, I've been watching you, and I'm paraphrasing. We're in John chapter 3, and he said, I've seen these miracles that you do, and I just know you're of God. I just know you're of God. And then Jesus said, no, I'm more than of God. I am God. I want to talk to you about the second birth. That's the virgin birth. You say, that's in John chapter 3? Well, I think it is. I want you to notice what Jesus told Nicodemus when he began to elaborate on who he was. Look in verse number 14. He said, as Moses, we must go back to verse number 12. He said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So what's all that mean? It means that Jesus is God. And he's getting ready to break it down for Nicodemus. Okay? He said, Nicodemus, before you was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I was with God in the beginning, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh, brethren, the virgin-born Son of God. So I just don't know if I can wrap my head around a virgin birth. I can't even wrap my head around a natural birth. Amen. You mean to tell me that the God who enabled the seed of a man and the egg of a woman to bring forth life. Now you listen to me. Life. Life. God calls that. Life, brethren. Life. If God can do that through us, the creation of the Creator, what can the Creator do in himself? He can plant himself into the womb of a virgin and bring forth the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ. God is not only the God of the natural birth, he's the God of the virgin birth. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm not only the Son of Man. Look at verse number 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man. What a statement that Jesus, what a title that Jesus gave himself. The Son of Man. Born of flesh, born in the flesh, a body did Jesus have. He was made in the likeness, Paul wrote, of sinful flesh. But now when you move on down into verse number 16, notice what he said. He said, I'm not just 100% man, the Son of Man. I'm 100% God. Look in verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son, he's God's Son. So he's not just the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. He's 100% man and 100% God. He's the virgin-born Son of God who came, who lived, who died so that this old natural birth could get what it takes in order to have peace with God. I want you to go home and look that word begotten up. We use that word a lot. It comes from the word monogamous. It just simply means, look it up now, none like it. That's what it means. Can I tell you there's no one ever been born like Jesus? No one ever been born like Jesus. The virgin-born Son of God. You say, preacher, do you really believe in the virgin birth? Yeah. With all within me, I do. Brethren, when you're celebrating Christmas this year, now don't forget to thank God for coming and living among us as sinners in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, because that is Christmas. And so when I look at this, I see the natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh is in trouble, brethren. The flesh is full of trouble. The flesh will get you in trouble. But I'm saved, preacher. The flesh will get you in trouble. Even as a saved person. Say amen now. You're Christians. You know what I'm saying to you. You've studied your Bible. The flesh will get you into trouble. You need to check your flesh. You need to buffet your flesh. Amen. The flesh will take you places. The flesh will take me places we don't need to be. It'll cause us to say things we ought not to say. That's right. Oh, but not me, preacher. Now listen. Now you have confidence in your flesh. And Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, you should not have confidence in your flesh. Is that what he said? It is. So the flesh, the natural birth. And then there's the virgin birth. Thank God that God came in the person of his Son. I want to close with this. The second birth. Or the spiritual birth. Or the new birth. And this is really what John chapter 3. This is the prominent teaching of John chapter 3. We find in John chapter 3, we find where Jesus introduces to this religious man, it takes more than religion to get you into heaven. It takes a relationship. You have to be born into a different family, Nicodemus. You see, the first time you were born into a family that will condemn you to judgment. Now hear me, brethren. Hear me. This is the Bible, and the Bible's always right. See, the first time I was born into the family of Adam, for the longest time, I want you to take your Bible here just for a moment and turn back to Genesis 1. For the longest time, I was taught, and so I just took what I was taught, that we, as God's creation, now listen to me, were made after the image of God. I believe Adam was, but the question is, are you? Whose image are you made in? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And he did. It says the same thing in verse number 27, doesn't it? Look at your Bible. The Bible's always right. Your preacher may not be, but the Bible always is right. Adam was made in the image of God. But when you go to chapter number 5, which is after chapter 3, what happens in chapter 3? Adam lost some stuff. Now listen, he lost dominion, brethren. See, this is why Jesus had to come. Adam lost some things that could only be repurchased and retained through someone in the likeness of Adam. It was lost by a man. It had to be regained by a man. And of course, that's why Jesus came. And it's called in the Bible, the last Adam. But in Genesis chapter number 5, notice what the scripture says. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. And there it is again. In the likeness of God made he him. Verse number 2 says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. I've always found that interesting that God never called Eve Eve. If you'll study the scripture, that's what Adam called her, the woman. He called her woman. He called her Eve. But God said, she's Adam. That's what verse number 2 of chapter 5 says. He called their name Adam in the day when they were created. But now look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. Watch this now. Not in the image of God, but in his own image. I have the image of Adam. And that image has got to be changed. I have an old sinful nature. And I'm not going to lose that sinful nature in this life. And so God had a plan before the foundation of the world was ever laid. As we go back and close now in John chapter 3, God said, I'm going to do something for man. I'm going to send my son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and I'm going to purchase everything that Adam lost. I'm going to purchase that. And I'm going to find favor with man, and I'm going to invite man to gain presence back into my presence through the redemption of my son. And it comes through the new birth. Jesus said in verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And then he said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, what's that mean? That means you have two natures when you get saved. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it's always going to be flesh. It's not going to change, not even when you get saved. Isn't that right, Christians? We know something about that from our daily struggles, don't we? Amen. Say, I don't like to say yes to that preacher. Well, you may as well go ahead and own up to it. It's who we are. Listen, when you know who you are, when you know where the fight is, you can, listen, then you can adequately fight the fight. But you've got to understand you're part of the problem. Well, wait a minute. You are the problem. Yeah. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that's the divine nature. See, when you get saved, God, 2 Peter 1:4, put his divine nature in me. Put his divine nature in you. Now we have two natures because we've been born again. That new birth. How does that happen, preacher? Well, first of all, Jesus said it's an absolute necessity. If you are going to have your sin forgiven, look at verse 7 of John chapter 3, ye must be born again. It is an absolute necessity. Say, well, now the Baptists say this, and the Pentecostals say this, and the Presbyterians say this, and the Lutherans say this, and the Episcopals say this, and the Catholics say this. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in what saith the Scriptures. The Scripture said, you must be born again. You can't join a church and get to heaven. You can't do good and get to heaven. You can't turn over a new leaf and find favor with God. Ye must be born again. It's an absolute necessity. When Jesus says must, brethren, Jesus means must. That's right. There is an emphasis. Look at it again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Not only is there a necessity, but thank God there's sufficiency. I'm glad that the new birth is sufficient enough. It's sufficient enough. Now here's what he said about it, and then we'll close. I want to give you three words that I want you to remember about this second or this new birth. Number one, conception. He is comparing the new birth or the spiritual birth to the physical birth. You know what it takes to bring about physical birth? It takes a miracle. Amen. That's right. It takes a miracle for the second birth too. But it takes the two seed. Listen, it takes the seed of the man and the egg of the woman. You know what it takes to get born again? The Bible teaches this now. It takes the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, and the Spirit of God. That's right. It takes the conception of the Word of God. You say, well, what have I got to do with this then? If it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that births me or baptizes me into the family of God, what do I have to do with this? You just be the womb where the Spirit and the Word come together. Amen. Amen. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Let your heart be the womb where the Spirit of God and the Word of God can germinate and bring forth the life of God, the eternal life that is promised through Jesus Christ. So, number one, conception. Number two, character. When you get saved, you will take on the characteristics of your spiritual father. Many of you have been told, spit an image of his dad. Spit an image of her mom, right? You take on the characteristics of your DNA. When you get saved, the divine nature of God gets put in you. You'll take on the characteristics of God. If you're saved, now listen to me. If you're saved and you're not changed, you've been slipped to counterfeit. Please hear me. There are people running around in our country, in our county even. They're filling up our churches and they have absolutely no desire for spiritual things. They have no desire for the things of God. Can I tell you, when you get born into a family, you'll begin to love and adapt to the things that your families love and adapt. When you get born again into the family of God, you'll love the things that God loves. What does God love, preacher? Well, first of all, God loves His Son. Do you love His Son? You say you're saved. You say that you've been born again of the Father. Do you love God's Son? Do you love God's Word? Do you love God's people? Do you love God's house? Do you love the things that God loves? See, when you get saved, you take on those godly characteristics. If you do not, if you've never had those characteristics, you have every right to say, hey, I'm concerned that I've ever been born again. Conception, characteristics, and then the third thing, certainty. When you get saved, the Spirit beareth witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Amen. And so here's three births. I know it's simple. I know it's simple. But yet it's something that we need to consider. How many births do you recognize this morning? Say, well, I know I've been born. That's a natural birth. Did you know that God sent His Son that God was born in the person of His Son? That's the virgin birth. It is a necessity that you accept the virgin birth before you can accept the forgiveness of God. You see, I have to know all about it, just like you don't know, have to know all about your natural birth to understand that you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. But you do have to recognize it. Amen. So when I just think that the virgin birth is negotiable, preacher, you don't have to accept that. Let me tell you something. If you don't recognize the virgin birth as being a fundamental of the faith, the Bible says you're a heretic. All right? These liberal theologians that say, well, it wasn't necessary that Jesus be born of a virgin. It absolutely was. And so we have the natural birth, the virgin birth, and then the second birth or the new birth. Have you ever been saved? Oh, I'm saved and I'm glad of it. You sure? I'm saved. I said a prayer one time. You did? Has your life ever changed? Brother, our churches are filling up with lost people. People that's never been born again. And I'm not okay with it. I hope to God that you're not. I said that when you get saved, you'll love things that God loves. You know what God loves? Sinners. I do too. And I just want to be a warning, possibly to somebody in our congregation or somebody who's watching by live stream. If there's been no change in your life, if there's no desire for the things of God, it may be because you're not of God. You're not in the family of God. And I could think of no better time than right now to get that settled. Because there's something not right with a person who says that I'm saved, but yet I want nothing to do with God's people. I want nothing to do with the things of God. I want nothing to do with the house of God. I want nothing to do with the Word of God. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to obey the Bible. I don't want to do anything that's godly, but yet I'm of God. You have every reason to begin to question and say, wait a minute, something's not right here. All right? Now I want you to stand with me. And I want you to bow your head with me, and I just want you to contemplate a few things. First of all, I want you to think about this. The natural birth is deficient. It's just not going to do it. The virgin birth is efficient. It accomplished what God wanted it to accomplish. And then there's the new birth. It is sufficient, and it will do for you what you need in your life, and that is to have peace with God and your sin forgiven. But now you must be born again in order for that to happen. Let's bow our heads together.